Welcome to Education Today. The content in this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Dr. Sarah McManus, and I'm your host and producer for today's episode of Education Today, an original program produced in the Triangle Radio Reading Service studio. In today's episode, we will be exploring web accessibility. Before we begin, here is a word from our sponsor. Are you in pain or in discomfort? Start your journey of relief at RBR Physical Therapy, located at 1300 Corporation Parkway, Suite B, Raleigh, North Carolina. Call 919-917-7729 for more information or visit www.rbrpt.com. Limp in, leap out. Today my guests are Mark Caron, principal web developer at Red Hat, who works on the customer portal front-end development team, and Jen Gerardino, senior interaction designer, who works on the user experience design team. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you. Tell our audience a little bit about what you do at Red Hat and what you think about accessibility.
So I work on the customer portal, which supports our customers. And so our interest in accessibility would be to make sure that our customers who may be blind or have low vision would be able to access the information on our website, whether that's documentation, filing a support ticket, or just getting more information about a specific product.
Okay.
Hey, so I'm part of the user experience design team that supports the product development teams at Red Hat. And one of the ways we support dev teams is by contributing to Patternfly. So Patternfly is a UI design framework for enterprise-level web applications. And because at Red Hat we embrace open source, Patternfly is also open source. And the importance of accessibility for us is that because we are serving the development community, we want to provide resources to enable them to develop applications that are accessible.
Excellent. And many people know Red Hat as, you know, the Red Hat Amphitheater or as an open source developer. Tell us a little bit more about what open source development is and more about what Red Hat does in general.
So open source is about making source code public so that anyone can use it, they can view it, and also contribute to it. And we really embrace this idea of community, and that when you open up development to a larger community than you might have with a smaller team, then you allow the really great ideas to emerge out of that community. And we believe that as a result, innovation is much more rapid.
You get a lot of good ideas that are able to come into a specific project rather than just limiting it to a small team.
Yeah. I was reading on the web, there's a company that's called the World Web Consortium, W3C. It's an international community where member organizations come together to talk about the web. And one of their quotes was, "Millions of people have disabilities that affect their use of the web. Currently, most websites and web software have accessibility barriers that make it difficult or impossible for many people with disabilities to use the web. As more accessible websites and softwares become available, people with disabilities are able to use and contribute to the web more effectively." So how is Red Hat focusing on accessibility on an ongoing basis?
So we have had requests from government customers and that we support accessibility at our product level. And we definitely believe that it is important to have products that are accessible and inclusive to a broader audience. So with Patternfly being a foundation that services our Red Hat product family, it is important for us to build in accessibility so that we can be more successful in delivering products to this broader audience. Patternfly currently has a substantial amount of assets and content, and we do recognize that not all of our contents are accessible, and we are ramping up our current efforts. And part of this ramping up is due to just growth in our internal teams as well as our customer base. And also because we are developing more products that have a graphical user interface, because in the past, a lot of a lot of what we developed was command line based interface and did not have that UI. And so we're really trying to push forward this the importance of having accessible user interfaces for our customer base.
Mark, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, so since we're open source, we sort of have this built-in culture around being as open and as accessible as possible. We really feel passionately about making sure there's no barriers, not just to our code, but to the community at large. And so, that's kind of one of the things is we want to make sure that there's no barriers to accessing our content as well. And so while we all believe this, the idea around accessibility, it's really intimidating for sighted users or for developers that are sighted. So it becomes very difficult for us to learn and jump in and try to figure out how these screen readers work, and because it's not our day-to-day. And so there's a lot that's lacking on the developer level. So, usually we get a little bit of pushback because it's so intimidating. It's actually a lot more expensive to develop that way. And so people don't generally venture out. So it's really just more of a lack of knowledge in that area. We all have that interest, but we just have to figure out how to balance that with what the current demand for stuff that we are developing.
Yeah, and I hear you're kind of an advocate for accessibility at Red Hat. Tell me a little bit about that.
So I think Jen and I both are. I mean, there's lots of people on our team, and it's growing, which is kind of awesome. So we, we aren't experts ourselves because we don't live, in this community. We don't have this experience with screen readers, but we're trying to learn, and it's a huge ramp to climb. And we want to start to make sure that we are being inclusive, and we're trying to educate other developers in this way, that we want to be open, and that we have one of the things that we commonly get in the industry as a whole, not just Red Hat, but the idea that we'd have a legal mandate to be accessible, like some government organizations may have, and those are our clients. And so they pass that legal mandate on to us. But we really have more of a cultural mandate at Red Hat, being open source and being about, opening ourselves, not just the code, but to the community at large.
Yeah, excellent. And Jen, you talked about some of the things that you're developing in your department. How will some of the things that you're developing help with accessibility in general? Because I know you said you were trying to build some products that had accessibility built in already.
Right. So because Patternfly provides UI design patterns, part of those design patterns shouldn't address just how you would use a mouse to interact with the widget, but also how would a user use a keyboard to navigate that widget? And so we want to provide as much of the support built in to the components that we provide through Patternfly to communicate how that design pattern should work to the developer who's implementing it, but generally just providing that knowledge of these are the expectations that you should understand that users have when working with a UI element.
Okay, excellent. And how are you incorporating people with disabilities in your development process?
So my background is design, and part of design is user research. When you start off with a design, you come with basic assumptions and you try to meet the goals both of your business and your users in your initial design. And then as part of the review process, you would iterate on that design. And during the design process, you would also test it to get feedback from users. So during the research process is when we are able to put our designs in front of people and actually watch them using them. And that's where we learn so much about how usable the design is that we came up with. And that's where we learn what we can refine in that design to make it more usable. As Mark mentioned, we aren't it's really impossible for us to do some of that testing when it comes to how a user that uses a screen reader would use our UI that we build, because we ourselves aren't screen reader users. And so being able to put apps that we build in front of them and really watch how they would interact with them and really understand what is the information that they're trying to get out of the application and what are the controls and input devices that they're using to navigate, those are really important aspects for us to understand when we're designing and developing.
Thank you. And Mark, you just recently started a project or a partnership with the Governor Moorhead School for the Blind. Tell us a little bit about that project and how it got started.
So yeah, I don't really fully remember exactly when the idea came into my head, but I had a colleague. I was trying to figure out how we could get users to test some of the web components that Jen had mentioned, not just Patternfly, but the ones that we're working on and the customer portal to support our customers. How could we test our website, get an audit of, you know, how well we're doing? Because even though we may be well-intentioned, we could be, making barriers that we didn't know about. Mm-hmm. So how do we get this website in front of people that don't have vision? And could they test them for us and let us know how we're doing? So a colleague of mine, Jim Scarborough, actually said, hey, you should reach out to Governor Moorhead School. And I thought that was an awesome idea. It took me some time to get there, but when I emailed you, Dr. McManus, and you responded, it was awesome. I was so excited. I actually just told, I don't know how many people, at least 15 people, about the response I got. And everyone was basically like, oh, how can I help out? I, in passing, mentioned it to Jen and her colleague, Leslie, who is the project manager for Patternfly. And they were like, we want to do this too. And so in order to keep it small enough that we could, you know, actually pull the workshop off and not make it too large, we focused on just the customer portal and Patternfly, since a lot of our developers use Patternfly in addition to the components we develop. We just set off to create this workshop. Everyone jumped in. I got probably about 15 volunteers, I think, to create user flows that, you know, that we want to test, like testing scenarios, to get surveys so that we can find out more information about the user that we're testing, and then just ideas about how to run the workshop, because it was actually bringing in, it was 11 students, bringing in 11 students. How do we manage that within an hour and a half was very challenging.
Yeah. But. So, Jen, what were your thoughts about the workshop?
I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad I was able to meet the students before the workshop, because I just in meeting with them and speaking with them, I learned so much more. And it kind of broke some of the assumptions that I had. I think one of the assumptions that I had made was that screen reader users are always like on a laptop using a keyboard. And so to hear from your students that they all prefer their iPads and their iPhones. And we had enough time after that before the workshop to actually meet again and kind of really make sure that our workshop was addressing the fact that these participants would have different preferences and be using different devices. We didn't really anticipate, or I didn't anticipate.
Yeah,
that.
There's a lot of misinformation, I think, on the web. Still, some of it's outdated. Some of it's probably just not correct. And so that's part of the intimidation factor. Just there's so much, and it's a community that we don't really interact with very often. And so, you know, or at all, some developers have never talked with somebody that's blind about how they actually use a website. And so we're trying to change that, I guess, within our immediate teams. And so it was new information to say, wow, they're actually using touch devices. That was mind-blowing, actually.
Well, and it wasn't just an experience that just you and I had, but we were able to bring in more people that we work with and let them experience that with us, which is, it's really eye-opening. If you So in the field of user research, it's really important that the people who are working to build the applications are observing the participants who are trying to use your application, because as a researcher, you can't possibly convey everything that the user was trying to do and some of the issues that they had. You have to really look at them and watch them try to struggle through your interface to understand, wow, as a developer, I now understand how painful it is. And so being able to meet with the students at Governor Moorhead School, it definitely makes it much more personal, and and it lets us kind of observe, this is how someone who uses VoiceOver on an iPhone, this is what they're doing, this is how they use it. And being able to share that with our entire team. I did finally yesterday was able to present some of the videos that we were able to take of of the Braille display and the combination of the iPad with the keyboard. And I know the rest of my team was just really impressed, and it was so beneficial for them to see that.
So one of the assumptions as a developer, and this happens for all users with any type of ability, as designers, we make a lot of assumptions about all of our users. And so through user testing is the only way that we can really get at, like, were our assumptions correct? And you see this in even on Google and Facebook and other applications. They're constantly doing testing, A/B tests. Sometimes they're probably even doing user, like, in-person interviews and research. And so, you know, we have these assumptions, and then when we sit down with the students, like at the Governor Moorhead School, it's just fascinating. And actually, I think everyone walked away, as fascinated and as impressed as I did.
Yeah, and I know the students were so excited. They just really enjoyed speaking with you and knowing that you were interested in how they would access something on the web. Yeah. And so they just they walked away with a lot of experience as well, and how to communicate what they were seeing and what they were listening to, and how the product was interacting. So that was very beneficial for them.
Yeah, I think the more that, you know, developers and the blind community can communicate, whether through actually contributing code through Patternfly or offering to be test subjects for the research that we're doing, the better understand that, like, developers will have that insight into how this community operates. And then as well, I believe that the blind community will be able to advocate for themselves and learn more about how sites are developed and you know, to what level developers understand screen readers or whatever assistive technology they might be using.
So what advice would you have for some of our audience members who are blind or print impaired to get involved in some of the research or some of the user testing that companies do?
So as I mentioned before, Patternfly is open source. That means anyone, you don't have to be at Red Hat to work on Patternfly. Anyone can reach out and participate in any way, from design to research and testing to development. And so I would love to invite listeners to find us at patternfly.org/community. On that page, you'll find different ways that you can reach out to our community members, and if you have any questions about how to get involved, please let us know, and we are more than happy to help get you started in the contribution process in any way that you are willing to contribute. I think it's safe to say that for many people on my team, that was the first time they actually were able to observe, either through video or in firsthand experience, someone who is using VoiceOver or a screen reader. And the more that we can expose ourselves to users who are using screen readers and VoiceOver, then the more we will be able to share that knowledge with the rest of the development community. That is one of our goals with Patternfly, is to make it less intimidating and actually help developers understand these are the ways that you can develop applications that enable all of your users to benefit from the application.
And I would say also if there are any developers who are blind or have low vision, contributing code directly, because understanding ARIA and some of the other things about accessibility is just so difficult. And so having a developer that knows this stuff firsthand and can actually be a firsthand tester, because they're writing the code, having them integrated into that process is very important. It would actually speed up the process and would be less about us doing work and then testing. It would be more doing the work and testing all at once, and that would actually become cheaper in the long run to build applications.
My final question for you, Jen, is before the workshop, you did talk to the students about some different careers that they might be involved in, because the students who actually participated were juniors and seniors, and they're thinking about college for the future or just going out into the workforce. So can you tell us a couple of those careers that you talked to the students about?
Yeah, so I'm most knowledgeable in things related to user experience design. So there's within that range, there's design and research and development. So I can speak to the design and research part, and then maybe Mark can talk about some of the development side of that. But when we talk about user experience design, it's kind of the understanding that good experiences, they don't just happen. There's a designer that really thinks through what is it that the user needs? What are they trying to accomplish? What is the information that needs to be presented to them so that they can be successful in using an application? And so an experienced designer doesn't have to be a sighted user. It's really just about understanding how to present information to people in a way that's meaningful and well-organized so that anyone can easily grasp that content, and also understanding what types of tasks those users are trying to complete and how to communicate what the tasks are and how to complete those tasks. So I definitely think that is a possible field of study, just user experience design in general. Research goes into, and that's a field that I participate in, but definitely not my background, but it's involved with finding participants that can walk through a design and setting up, these are the tasks that we want people to be able to complete, and asking the participant to walk through that task and observing how they try to complete that task and taking notes on where did they struggle, where was it easy for them.
Yeah, user experience is a really broad field. It can cover the design, which Jen talked about. It can also go more into the psychology, which is the user research and understanding of how people interact, which is a very cool side of the field as well. And then there's the development side, which is where I've made my career, is developing components in this day and age as web components. How do you create those so that there are no barriers, so that anyone can use that that widget or whatever it is, or website, to convey the information you're trying to convey? So there's the designing that experience, and then there's also developing that experience. Okay. So, because, you know, there's a lot of things in the background that are happening that have to be done properly. But it's a very broad field. It can even go into chair design or like the design of a building. You know, there's a lot of thought into how people interact or how people move through information or through a building or whatever you have. That's all user experience.
Excellent.
And then also in the development field, there's testing too, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's in terms of accessibility design, I think we have consultants that are available to help work with development teams and actually verify how accessible the designs they are, that they build. So I think that's definitely another valid opportunity is to become an expert in the field.
Yeah, so whether or not you're directly contributing to the code, being available to give feedback, and whether that's really indirectly, like you've come to some website that has a lot of barriers, giving feedback to those developers is important. And I think most people don't want to know that their site, like, is inaccessible. They want to make sure that it is. And so if you can advocate for yourself that, hey, you know, I had a problem uploading this file. I couldn't find where that button was, which actually I had a bug that I had to fix on our website. Somebody couldn't attach a file. And, you know, we had to then tell the developer that had made that, well, you can't do that because this is what caused that barrier.
Yeah.
And it's well received. We want to know that people can access our stuff. And so, you know, contacting companies indirectly like that, or actually plugging into a community like Patternfly, for instance, it would be invaluable as a consultant.
Excellent. Well, thank you. You've given the audience a lot of good information. I think it's helpful for them to know that developers are listening and that they do care, and that if they do have an issue with the site, they can always contact the developer, because the developer will most likely listen and maybe change that website so it is more accessible.
Yeah, most actually just, we don't know that much. And so if you're willing to share, then we're willing to listen. So
awesome. On that note, we're going to end our program. But before we go, I did want you to give us your website one more time for Patternfly.
Yeah, it's patternfly.org/community.
Excellent. And we have to have a word from our sponsor before we close our program. Are you in pain or in discomfort? Start your journey or relief at RBR Physical Therapy, located at 1300 Corporation Parkway, Suite B, Raleigh, North Carolina. Call 919-917-7729 for more information, or visit www.rbrpt.com. Again, that's www.rbrpt.com. Limp in and leap out. Thank you so much for joining us today for Education Today. Jen and Mark, you were wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. Please be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed the show. I'm Dr. Sarah McManus, your host and producer for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. After its broadcast, you can readily find it as a podcast at our website, located at www.triangle.reading/service/service.org, where you'll be able to listen to it again and share it with others. If you have any comments or questions for today's episode, or wish to share a topic that you want us to explore, please call us at 919-832-5138. Again, that's 919-832-5138. You may also reach out to us via email at info@trrsnc.org. We look forward to hearing from you. So long until next time.